Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome all. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. Today is March 14, 2020, and we are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy day to listen to something else other than news reports about the coronavirus. We encourage you to get your Bible out and get ready for a wonderful study. We also encourage you to go to our chat room, where I will, in just a few minutes, now that we are on the air, and what I write on the chat room will actually stay there, I will put up for you our website. And you can go there and take a look at that. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, there's a lot of panic out there in the world today because of a virus that is moving its way rapidly around the world. And I pray, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, put your angels and a hedge around the United States of America to keep this from becoming an epidemic here. I pray, Father, that however you decide to do that, that you will give us a sense of peace and comfort us so that we will not panic. I thank you for taking us to a place today where we can think clearly, where we can associate with your words and with your spirit in such a way that we will understand the truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Michael Mibayo.
Morning.
Good morning, Larry. And nice to see you, Rick.
What you said in your prayer about the United States, that reminded me that
That's okay.
What you said in your prayer about the United States reminded me of an article I read last night on the internet by Pat Buchanan about this possibly being the end of the New World Order. All the countries are thinking about themselves first.
Hey, you know, I wouldn't go against that. Who knows?
As a anonymous person has said, why would you interfere with your enemy when they're in the process of destroying themselves?
That's both Sun Tzu and Clausewitz, who both wrote tactical books on tactics and strategy.
And while we're on the subject of your enemy, who is your enemy? Who is our enemy? Any guesses? Do you have an enemy?
Well, I think the bottom line of that is, yes, we do have an enemy, and that enemy does have a name, and that name is Abaddon and Apollyon, as listed in Revelation, otherwise known as Satan, the great deceiver. And as we wrote in the book, Rick, Satan is not called the great, and this is one of Dr. Don's favorite quotes, Satan is not called the great deceiver because he's not good at it.
And actually, so he's gifted.
He is gifted. And what is deception? Well, in order to be able to deceive somebody, there has to be truth against which that deception works.
And there are none so deceived as those who believe it's impossible to deceive them.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, I tell people that the first indication that you've been deceived is if you believe you can't be.
Yeah, I'd say when you look back in history, go back far enough before the Garden of the Paradise of God, back to the initial creation, and the people who were created at that time.
You mean the creation of Genesis 1, 26 and 27, which is not the same as the creation that Jesus, that God Almighty did after that in the garden.
They were deceived, but it was their teachers who were deceiving them. But the man and the woman in the garden, who came several thousand years later, they knew better. They knew what the truth was. And they were deceived. Deception has been a problem all the way from the very beginning, when Lucifer and his cohorts deceived the nations.
Does knowing the truth not automatically save you? Do you actually have to practice the truth through obedience?
You know, Larry, that's a good question. And what I would say is, if you know the truth and you live the truth, you will not fall for a deception.
And in that vein, Rick, there is actually a statement that many people, and I would say most Christians, don't know, because and it's found in John 3, because whenever a Christian gets to John 3:16, they stop. That's it. We are born again, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, etc. My question to them is then, he gave his only begotten Son to do what?
Well, what they do is they don't stop there. They just don't continue reading in John 3.
Yes.
They immediately move over to Paul.
Right, exactly. And so they don't go to John 3, 19, 20, and 21,
right,
which defines what you're just talking about, what Larry's just talking about.
Yeah, it says there is a judgment, and it says what the judgment is based on. Blindness if you're blind and deaf, can you be deceived? Do you need sight, or do you need hearing? Well, you can be. It all depends on who is assisting you, because it would be very difficult for you to go from one place to another that you were unfamiliar with if you were deaf and blind. So you would need to rely on someone to lead you. And if the someone, if the person leading you was untrustworthy, they could definitely take you to a place that you would never go if you could see and hear. This also happens spiritually. And the spiritual blindness or deafness is ultimately the words that are in your intellect, are the words truthful or are they lies? Are they lies that you want to be true? Or are they words that are really true? Larry, you were going to say something?
Well, I think in the case especially of spiritual, but also physical, if it were possible, is to overcome and eliminate the blindness and deafness so that you aren't relying on somebody else to tell you what to do.
Ultimately, we need to know that God alone is the source of truth. Now, God has servants whom he has instructed in the truth, who have the truth, but they are messengers who are relaying the truth from God. The truth does not originate in the messenger. The messenger is just the vehicle for getting the truth from the source to the recipient. The Son of God said that he had been given the message that his Father, Almighty God, wanted the world to hear. If it was not important for the people of earth to not only hear the truth, but to know the truth and practice the truth, there would be no need for God to send his Son. You'd say, well, but, you know, what about sin? His Son had to come to give his life for the process of sanctification. What is the process of sanctification? The process of sanctification is the process by which lies are removed and replaced by truth.
It's overcoming blindness and deafness.
If truth was not important in regards to salvation, there would be no need for the Son of God to die. If you can be saved in your sin, you don't need someone to make that possible. God would not have made such a big issue about sin if sin were not such a big issue. We would not still be living here like this if sin were not a big issue. If salvation by grace through faith is the dynamic God is using to bring us all into his kingdom and eternal life, then why didn't he do that long ago? And why did he fault the children of Israel for not doing it? Well, Paul tells us that God used Israel to show how impossible it is for anyone to be made holy, in fact, because it's just a fault of the flesh. When you look around you today, what do you see? We talked a little bit about it earlier. Stores have lines and crowds of people going in trying to buy food and essentials to be able to weather the coming storm. They don't know what to expect, so they're going to be prepared for anything. What they are preparing for is to be able to survive a calamity that they don't know what it is going to be like. They don't know what to expect. So they're going by the age-old adage, and that is, hope for the best, but expect the worst. God has told us what he's going to do. He has told us what the end of the world looks like. He has told us what we need to do to prepare for that, so that when all this is behind us, we will have not only survived through it, but we will have eternal life. It has nothing to do with making sure you have enough toilet paper or enough dried beans and rice and water and medication. It has to do with what you have put into your soul, into your intellect. When you check what's in there and you find out that what you have, according to God, is not what he requires you to have in order to survive and live eternally. I've been talking about information. Information about the future. Do you want to know what to expect? How many people do you think would like to know what the outcome of all this going on today, the virus and the election and the various other things in the future? They would like to know what will happen and what they need to be prepared for that future. What do we need? What is the essential that we need to know what the future holds for us? Do we need a hardened bomb shelter? Deep underground? Do we need a boat because a flood is coming? Do we need toilet paper because we may need toilet paper for what you use toilet paper for? But when it comes to eternal life, is toilet paper going to help us in it? Is a boat going to help us? Is a hardened bunker deep underground going to help us get eternal life? Is there anywhere we can go to find out what we need? And what is it that is going to give us that information?
Well, my fingers went to my computer, and I came over here to Matthew 6:25 and on, where Jesus is talking about worrying about life and what you're going to eat and drink and worrying about all of the things that, like, adding an extra hour of life to your, you know. Jesus said, don't worry then about what you are to eat or drink, or what clothing you will wear, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Okay.
And Rick, I've got to tell you, you are a prime example of that, because you never know, literally, from, you know, 2 months or a month or two ahead, whether or not you're going to be in the house you're living in, whether or not you're going to, I mean, it's uncanny how faithful God has been not to give you fancy cars and although that would be nice, but you are being taken care of, and so are the rest of us. This does not mean that we don't get beat up by life.
What is the most valuable thing for you? Is it toilet paper or the truth?
It's the truth. First and foremost.
Is the truth going to get you through a pandemic?
Actually, yes, it is. Because even if you get the disease, you will have peace about the outcome.
Is toilet paper going to get you through the pandemic?
No.
What is truth? What is truth made of? We know what toilet paper is made of. What is truth made of? Truth is made of words. Words that are true. Words that are put together in sentences and paragraphs that are true and convey information that can be relied on 100%.
And if you don't believe what Rick just said, go read John 1:1-4. Or 5. Just read that.
Now,
if that doesn't prove it, I don't know what will.
I've said this many, many, many times, and I'll say it again. When we come into this world, when we exit our mother's womb and we come into this world and we grow up in that household, we are taught, through words and actions. So what fills our intellect as we're growing up is what our parents or our grandparents or those who are teaching us about life tell us. When we go to school, what is put in our intellect is what our teachers say. If the teachers are spewing garbage, garbage is going to be in the intellect. In academia today, we see the results of the concerted effort of the evil one working through the powers that be to indoctrinate the students with the doctrines of Satan. Information cleverly used makes the subject willing to do the will of the teacher. How many people I have seen that are so convinced of something that isn't true, they are willing to die for it. If you think about it, would you be willing to die in support of a lie? And would your death make that lie true? In fact, would the death of the Son of God on the cross make lies truth? Because that's what most all Christians believe. that which was a lie before his death became truth after his death and resurrection. Does the truth matter? Or is it just the source that matters? I use the example of the Krebs cycle that I had to memorize when I was taking microbiology. I had to be able to fill in all the various stages of the Krebs cycle. Ten years later, I found out that the Krebs cycle that I memorized was not accurate. The fact that I was able to reproduce that on an exam and get an A didn't make that Krebs cycle true. Because 10 years later, after a little more research, they found out that it didn't work that way. But hey, I studied hard. I learned all those steps in the Krebs cycle. And I believed it was true. That's what my teacher told me. And then 10 years later, I find out, no, it's not that.
Dr. Milliken, it's my college ground it into us. I mean, he just pounded it into us. And turns out that it was almost all wrong.
So there wasn't a big deal about changing the Krebs cycle. Actually, it didn't change, just the understanding of the Krebs cycle changed. So what's so difficult about God and what God wants? Does 2,000 years of lies change the facts and truth? What was taught by the Son of God is not what those who say they believe in him and worship him and honor him today, because what they're doing is they believe the lies, the weeds that the devil planted. I said yesterday that the old saying, you won't find an atheist in a foxhole, is apropos. When it looks like the world is coming to an end, if a pandemic similar to the one that the Earth is experiencing right now was much more lethal than the one right now, that's your foxhole. How many atheists would you find if there was a lethal pandemic racing around the world? What about an ice age that you didn't know was coming, came unexpectedly? Or a micronova that you didn't know about, that came unexpectedly in the Bible. We read in Genesis, right in the beginning of Genesis, that there was a flood. And it came unexpectedly for the people of the world. The only one who knew that it was coming was Noah. And he told his family that they needed to build a boat or they too would be killed in the waters of the flood. They built the boat and they were in it when the flood came, and it washed away all the people on the face of the earth, and they knew nothing about it. That could never happen again, even though the same God who sent the waters of the flood has said that the earth is in line for another catastrophe. And it will happen. But hey, people don't believe that the flood happened, and they don't believe in the God that did the flood. And if it was a flood, it was just a local flood. All lies. The Son of God came here to testify to the truth. And how many people understood what he was saying? How many people accepted what he was saying? And, well, the answer is a handful at best. What seems to have happened after he went back to the Father is that his followers kept within the practices of Judaism and kind of incorporated the Messiah within it. And Paul went to the pagans and reworked their paganism. And that's what we have today. We have Messianic Judaism, Christianity, and we have Christianity. The end of days is here. Look around you. The end of days is here. And whether the end of days is a year or two or three or whether it's 10 years, it depends on the people, as it depended, as the destruction of Nineveh depended on the people who lived there, the destruction of the world depends upon the people who live here. It looks to me like the people of earth are going in a different direction than the one described in Daniel and Revelation. In that image, the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream vision, what were the feet made of?
Iron and clay.
Iron and baked clay.
Baked clay. Brittle and hard.
And we see this, but we see this today. We see that totally different ideological beliefs have been mixed together and that they have, even though they, the various people have been taken out of a culture that they grew up in and placed in another culture which is diametrically opposed to the culture of these people, trying to mix Muslims and Christians together and telling them to get along. That's the iron in the baked clay. Or
it could also be conservative and liberal.
It could be extreme poverty and extreme wealth. The two don't mix. And what we see is an effort starting now in the nations of the world to either have the people incorporate into society or to go back to their own society. Is that what the feet of the image of Daniel 2 tell us? What they tell us is that in the days of that, of the feet of that image, there's a stone that is cut out without hands. It grows in, it strikes the image at the feet, destroying all of the nations and absorbing them, and then it grows into a huge mountain that fills the whole earth. We read in Daniel also about a king who comes at the end of time, who deceives the whole world. Revelation also talks about this. A time of distress. And in Revelation, we also read about a one world order. So what do we do now when we see on we see people who know what is going on? We see people who are actually have been working to put this one world order together, saying their whole system is coming apart. They are saying their whole system is coming apart, and if somebody doesn't act soon and quickly, all their hard work for the new world order will have been for naught. The people of earth have chosen self-determination. They have chosen to keep their national identity
and
their culture
and their sovereignty.
And their sovereignty. They have rejected the one world order. So did God not see this coming? Is God a bit well, what does God do now?
Rick, I remember many years ago, one of the things that was part of what we understood about Revelation was that Daniel had redemptive qualities to it. But Revelation, when it got started, it was redemptive in part, but it was going to happen the way it was listed. It was going to be, there was going to be a one world order. There was going to be all this hell on earth. What we didn't take into consideration was Revelation 10.
Well, Daniel 9 is an example.
Exactly, yes.
Gabriel tells Daniel in Daniel 9, and starting with verse 24. 70 weeks are decreed for your people and your holy city, for putting an end to transgression. Now, what I want you to pay attention to is these are the conditions upon which the whole information about the future in the 70 weeks depends. So your people and your holy city, they must put an end to transgression. Seal up sin. Expiate crime. Introducing everlasting integrity. Setting a seal on vision and prophecy. If vision and prophecy is sealed, what does it need to be if it's ever going to happen? Unsealed. What vision and prophecy was sealed? Daniel 10 through 12.
Right.
Remember, it says sealed up until the end.
Right.
For anointing the Holy of Holies, or a holy one. Know this then and understand. From the time this message went out to the 77s, to return and rebuild Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed priest, 70 weeks and 62 weeks, with squares, ramparts restored and rebuilt, but in a time of trouble. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one will be cut off, and then in my Bible, it is ... There's some missing text there. Will not be for him. What does that say? The city and the sanctuary be destroyed by a prince who will come. His end will come in catastrophe, and until the end, there will be war and all the devastation decreed. He will make a firm covenant with many for the space of a week. And for the space of one half week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and oblation, and on the wing of the temple will be the disastrous abomination until the end, until the doom assigned to the devastator. Did that all happen?
No, it did not.
The temple was rebuilt in times of distress.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as doing away with transgression and sealing up sin and bringing in everlasting integrity, no. That didn't happen. This prophecy was an end of the world prophecy. But the world didn't end. Why? Because the kingdom that was supposed to bring it about and were responsible for getting the world ready for this
failed.
Refused.
Yes.
To comply. But now what we see is the people of Earth recognize that the God of the Bible is real, but they have never been taught the truth about the God of the Bible. The God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. They've not been taught the truth, but what they've been taught, they hold to. They worship the God in the heavens, the true God. But they don't know the true God. They only know He is there, but they don't know Him. Whose fault is that? It is not God's fault. God has been very forthright in giving us all the truth that we need to have to learn about Him and to know Him and to behave in accordance with His will. Where the problem has come is the devil has offered an alternate truth. It's a lie, but it looks like the truth. Just as Darnell looks like wheat, resembles wheat. Mike sent me a picture once. You remember the picture you sent me, Mike?
The Department of Noxious Weed Control.
The Department of Noxious Weed Control in Nebraska. Nebraska grows a lot of crops. Wheat is one of the main crops. Corn is another large crop.
And soy.
And Mike made the comment, noxious weed control is a pretty important thing to have if you don't want your crops ruined. The words that God has given us and preserved for us are wholesome seed, spiritual seed. And what God wants us to do is to plant those words in our intellect and get the weeds out. The noxious weed control is the words of truth from God in the Bible. The issue comes, though, is that because the lies so closely resemble the truth and seem more accommodating, it's what is widely believed to be the truth. But no amount of faith and belief will turn the lies into the truth. It just doesn't happen. You can't turn something of value into worthlessness, and you can't turn something that is worthless into something of value.
Another way to put that is that any part of a lie that is in truth makes that truth a lie. And if you decide that you are going to choose the lie and make it truth, all of a sudden you can't see the truth no matter how plain it is.
when the Son of God was here on earth in the flesh, and he was telling the truth, teaching the people the truth, he was continually contradicted, harassed, questioned, and falsely accused by those who should have known what the truth was. And they may have known what the truth was, but they knew that if they said that, they would lose everything they had. Their high standing, their expensive house, their authority, their power, and their place in the temple. And they weren't ready to give that up. So, what did they choose? Did they choose truth or toilet paper?
They chose that which the toilet paper was designed to remove.
You know, people think they're going to be quarantined in their houses for a while. And somehow or another, they think that that's going to cause diarrhea.
Right.
And that they need to have a large supply of toilet paper. When if they understood this virus does not cause diarrhea, and that the longest you would need to be quarantined in your house at the most is maybe a month, maybe, but more likely a week, maybe two. And yes, you may want toilet paper, but you need to be realistic about it. I'm talking about eternal life. And what you need for eternal life is the truth. And don't deceive yourself and say that I already have all the truth I need. Because what you have is not the truth. And if you think that you're going to need as much toilet paper as they will allow you to buy so that you can survive a 2-week quarantine, then why don't you take just as seriously the fact that you need the truth and you need to find the truth. Just like right now, you need to find a place that has any toilet paper at all that you can buy and not have to wait all day in line to buy it. If you abide in the word of the Son of God, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around, especially the writing, this paper called The Harvest, and also our book, The Spirit of the Church. We would also encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy and a safe Sabbath, and we will, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, see you all next week. Thanks for joining us.